KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a mostly clear sky at 68 degrees. We look for it to be partly cloudy, warm, and humid today. A high of 89. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Authorities say a man from southwest Iowa died after his car collided with another vehicle in eastern Nebraska's Sarpy County. The collision occurred a little before 5:30 p.m. Friday on U.S. Highway 6 on the south side of Gretna, Nebraska. The Sarpy County Sheriff's Office has an eastbound car driven by 46-year-old Brian Bullington of Red Oak crossed the center line and struck an oncoming car driven by 28-year-old Elizabeth Breckenhauer of Ashland, Nebraska. Breckenhauer was taken to a hospital for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries. The Sheriff's Office says Bullington was flown to the Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha, where he later died. The Creston Police Department reports five people were arrested over the weekend at around 1:30 a.m. Sunday. 46-year-old Walter Hall Jr. of Creston was arrested at his residence for domestic abuse assault second offense. Hall was later released from the Union County Jail on a $600 bond. At around 7 a.m. Sunday, 26-year-old Brett Brammer from Murray was arrested during the course of a traffic stop at Highway 25 and Russell Street, assisted by the Creston Police Department, K-9 Jacks. Brammer was charged with possession of paraphernalia. He was released from the Union County Jail on a $300 bond. At the same location, 25-year-old Sean Scheimer of Greenfield was arrested during the course of the traffic stop. Scheimer was charged with possession of paraphernalia. He was released on a $300 bond as well. Around 3:30 p.m. on Saturday, 24-year-old Kevin Harden of Creston was arrested on a charge of theft in the fifth degree. He was released from custody on a $300 bond. And Walter Hall Jr. was arrested again at 1:27 a.m. for assault with domestic abuse second offense and also violation of a court order. He was being held in the Union County Jail while awaiting a bond hearing. The City Council in Sioux City is expected to consider a proposal today for the removal of a World War II chapel and Airmen's Housing Project on Sioux City Airport land. Sioux City Journal reports that the chapel anchors the entrance to the Sioux Gateway Airport. It is one of the last standing remnants of the wartime airbase built for B-17 bomber training. City documents say the two parcels containing the chapel and housing were developed with uses not compatible with operations of the airport. The chapel would be moved off the airport property and a nonprofit group would take ownership and maintain it at a new location as a memorial and make it available for event rentals. However, the nonprofit group has not been fully formed and would need to raise funds to take ownership of the chapel. The group interested in the chapel is not financially able to accept the housing project, which could face demolition. Elsewhere in the news, Governor Kim Reynolds is predicting President Trump will announce new ethanol production guidelines this week.
I can't say too much because we're waiting to see the final wording.
Reynolds flew to Washington, D.C. last Thursday for a meeting at the White House to discuss how to increase the federal ethanol production mandate. President Trump last month gave a green light to waivers so 31 oil refineries do not have to blend ethanol into gasoline. Trump has said he had to save those refineries from certain closing, but he's promised a giant package will be unveiled to boost corn-based ethanol. Reynolds said she feels really good about last week's White House meeting with Trump and farm state senators.
And if what we agreed on is what we see in writing, we'll be supporting it and inviting him here to announce it.
The governor says the ethanol waivers granted to the oil industry erased any gains from President Trump's June announcement that gasoline with a higher 15% blend of ethanol could be sold year-round. She says that message has been delivered.
It's going to have a direct impact on our farmers and our communities and our economy in rural Iowa. And, you know, we helped put him there. And he said when he ran for office, he supported renewable fuels. And it was a really good meeting.
Reynolds made her comments at the Clay County Fair in Spencer during an interview with a radio station up that way. The Des Moines Register is reporting that the Siouxland Energy Cooperative in Sioux Center has quit producing ethanol, the second ethanol plant in Iowa to close this fall. A trial is scheduled to begin today for a man accused of using a corn rake to kill his wife in eastern Iowa. Court records say 43-year-old Todd Mullis has pleaded not guilty to a charge of first-degree murder. Authorities say he fatally attacked 39-year-old Amy Mullis in November at her farm northwest of Earlville. Authorities initially believed she'd been fatally injured in a fall, but an autopsy showed she died after receiving injuries that included multiple stab wounds to her back with a corn rake. The trial has been moved to Dubuque County from Delaware County. Mullis's lawyer sought a new location, saying Mullis couldn't get a fair trial in Delaware County, which is where his wife worked closely with law enforcement as a nurse. A judge has ordered a mental competency evaluation for a woman accused of injuring an Iowa City police officer with BB gun fire. The woman herself was injured when the officer returned fire with his service weapon. Officer Michael Clark and 25-year-old Sierra Lewis were both hospitalized following the July 29th shootout in South Iowa City as officers were investigating a shoplifting. Lewis's attorney, Quint Meyerdirk, told the Press Citizen that he doesn't believe the woman is mentally fit enough to participate in her own defense. She's been charged with assault and willful injury. Lewis will be evaluated by a psychologist at the Iowa Medical and Classification Center in Coralville. Clark's involvement is being reviewed by the Johnson County Attorney's Office. Police have identified a wounded homeless man as well as the officer involved who shot him in a confrontation at a Des Moines homeless encampment. Des Moines police say 26-year-old Brian Tyler Norris was shot Friday afternoon at the encampment in a wooded area near the Raccoon River. Police say officers were responding to complaints about the camp when Norris refused to cooperate with officers and jumped into the river. He later emerged, ran back to the camp, and armed himself first with a shovel and then a machete-style knife. Police say Norris refused commands to drop the knife and was advancing on an officer when Officer Trudy Paulson shot him. Police say Norris underwent surgery and remained hospitalized in stable condition. He's been charged with assault on a police officer and other counts. Paulson is a 12-year veteran of the force. More than $8.5 million was waged at 13 participating casinos in Iowa's first month of sports betting. Ames radio station WI reports that, or television station WI reports that figures released by the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission showed the state reaped nearly $146,000 in tax revenues from the wagers on sports events. The report shows Prairie Meadows and Altoona topped Ameristar 2 in Council Bluffs with more than $3.4 million in sports handle, or that is money placed on bets, and nearly $2.9 million paid out to bettors. On August 15th, Iowa became the 11th state in the nation and the first in the Midwest to allow such wagering. Iowa's law allows betting on on-site or through a mobile app, but requires mobile betting to be done within the borders of the state. Betting software includes precision geofencing technology that nullifies bets made outside of Iowa. The Iowa Supreme Court says state courts have jurisdiction over crimes committed on the Meskwaki settlement when crimes are committed by non-American Indian individuals against or against people not members of a tribe. The court made a ruling Friday in a case involving Jessica Ray Stanton, who was charged in January at the Meskwaki Bingo Casino Hotel in Tama by a tribal officer with trespass, possession of drug paraphernalia, and violation of a no-contact order. A magistrate dismissed the charges, concluding a federal law passed last year removed state jurisdiction for crimes on the Indian settlement. The case centers on changing law regarding jurisdiction on tribal lands. A 1948 federal law gave state officials jurisdiction on tribal land for crimes committed by tribal members. However, last December, Congress passed a new law repealing the 1948 Act, removing state jurisdiction from crimes by tribal members or against tribal members on Indian settlements. State officials still have jurisdiction for crimes by non-Indians or against non-Indian members on tribal settlements. The court reinstated Stanton's charges and sent them back to the district court for determination of whether she is American Indian or whether any victims are members of the tribe. That is a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.